Well, we've only got 2 months left in 2020, and so far it's been a, safe to say, a pretty disappointing year for theatrical releases. We got a couple of good horror releases early in the year. There was The Surprising Underwater. The Invisible Man was an excellent remake or modern retelling of a classic story. If you waited a long time to see The New Mutants that finally hit theaters back in late August, odds are you were probably either disappointed or underwhelmed. Fortunately, indie horror has come through for us. Maybe you caught one of the Shudder originals, either Host or Beach House, both of which were pretty damn good. For this episode of the Abominable Dr. Walsh podcast, I'm going to be taking a look at the recently released Alone. You can find that on most video on demand services. I saw it, I believe, on Apple TV, but it's probably available on Google Play and other streaming services as well. Alone is an American update of a Swedish thriller called Gone that was released in 2011. Mattias Olsson, who directed and wrote the original, returns to adapt his own screenplay for this remake. And behind the camera is John Hyams. Hyams is responsible for, I think, two of the Universal Soldier sequels that have come out in the last 15 to 20 years. He also directed the recent Netflix zombie series Black Summer that came out, I think, in April 2019. Alone is very similar to Black Summer in that they're both pretty straightforward or bare bones narratives. Alone is a pinch of road trip thriller in the vein of Duel or Paul Walker's 2001 Joyride, and it's about two-thirds of survival horror in the Pacific Northwest. The movie is, again, pretty straightforward. You have a woman named Jessica who is trying to escape something. She seems to have a terse or estranged relationship from her family. You definitely get the impression that she has suffered a loss in her life, a husband or a boyfriend. Some of that information gets revealed later in the film. And she's on a road trip by herself on an isolated stretch of highway through the Pacific Northwest when she has a run-in with a seemingly friendly man who is only credited in the movie as the man. He has kind of a BTK serial killer look and feel to him. And again, Alone doesn't have a lot of surprises. This is not a movie that's trying to reinvent the wheel. So you know very from pretty much the get-go that there is something quite wrong with the stranger. Their interaction leads to some tense encounters along the highway before things take a much more deadly turn later in the movie, with eventually Jessica finding herself gagged and bound in a basement in an isolated cabin in the woods. And that is the setup for Alone. With Alone, John Hyams and Mattias Olsson aren't reinventing the wheel here. This is not a genre-bending film. If you've seen any survival horror movie in the past, if you've ever seen Joyride, if you've ever seen Duel, Jeepers Creepers, any road trip thriller, you probably have a pretty good idea of where Hyams is going right from the opening scene. And there aren't very many unexpected turns. That's not to say that Alone isn't a great movie, and in fact, it's quite an effective thriller. What it does quite well, and in fact, what it relies on really is simplicity. That's what drives the movie. This is a very bare bones, stripped down, or raw narrative. And there are several scenes in the movie that work quite well. So I'm not sure if the term slow burn really applies here because it's a fairly consistent level of tension throughout the movie that really doesn't explode until the climax. But Hyams does a very good job of introducing the threat early on in the movie, that initial scene on the highway, which, again, if you've ever watched this type of movie before, you know what's probably going to happen, but Hyams films it quite effectively so that when Jessica's trying to pass this car that's driving extremely slow and then the driver speeds up and she almost has an accident, it's not that you're surprised, but it's filmed in such a way that you're definitely on the edge of your seat. Later in the movie, in the next scene, when Jessica is in a parking lot, she's on the phone with a family member, and you can see that same car from earlier in the film pull up. You get this lump in your throat, your stomach tightens because you know something's going to happen. That first interaction with the man, and that's how the film credits him. He never has a name. He's seemingly nice, he's polite, he seems charming, but there's something off about him, and you know when he's gaslighting her in that scene that something bad is going to happen, and indeed something that bad does happen in pretty short order. At one point in the movie, Hyams kind of makes it look like he's going to subvert your expectations and take you in an unexpected direction. He does kind of course correct or course change, and you end up with the movie you thought you were going to get. And this is where the movie setting also plays a pretty huge, significant role in making Alone work quite well. It's set in the Pacific Northwest. It's a beautifully filmed movie. The cinematography is excellent. So there's lots of big, expansive shots of the lush green Pacific Northwest, stretches of Pacific Northwest woods. There's lots of rain because, again, it's the west Northwest coast. And it really kind of drives home a sense of isolation and being, as the title implies, alone, which is crucial for this type of movie. One scene in the back seat of a car while Jessica is hiding in the man's car and trying to reach his phone. That's the kind of tension you want from this movie, and it's done quite well. And the climax is very much an intense gut punch. The other thing that really elevates Alone from other similar thrillers, which makes this something more than just your average run-of-the-mill or generic survival horror, is beneath its actual simple story is a very universal theme around grief and perseverance. So you know very early in the movie that something bad has happened to Jessica. You know she's experienced some type of loss, and you very much get the sense throughout the movie that this is someone who isn't quite sure she wants to go on. She certainly can't go on where she's lived in the past, and she's running away from something. And you have this inner turmoil that drives some of the tension in the movie as you kind of wonder or ask yourself, is this someone who wants to live or survive? And watching that character arc as that kind of instinct kicks in and she's fighting for her life adds something to the movie. And that's where, which we'll talk about in the next section, the performances really come into play. One of the strong selling points of Alone really lies in its performances. And when you have a movie that's this kind of bare bones, you really do need the actors to really drive home the tension, the scares, and the thrills. Fortunately, the cast of Alone is more than up to the game. And this is really a two-person show. As the man, main antagonist, Mark Menchaca, is exceptionally good. You may recognize Menchaca from HBO's The Outsider series. He's done a couple of episodes of Black Mirror. Netflix fans will recognize him as Russ Langmore from Ozark. In Alone, he very much, as I mentioned earlier, kind of conveys that almost BTK persona of a serial killer. So while Anthony Hopkins, Hannibal Lecter, an iconic performance, it's a big performance, though. It's very theatrical, almost, I don't know if over the top is the right word. This is the opposite. Menchaca's the man is more of a quiet study in menace. This is like he has a door-to-door salesman approach, and while on the surface he kind of has a seemingly normal appearance, he still is able to convey what I would describe as a quiet, almost polite menace early on in the movie. And even when he makes that transition into his full predator mode, it's never overpowering everything else that's going on in the movie. It's very much consistent with the atmosphere and tone that Hyams seems to be trying to accomplish. It's there's a sadistic edge to it without ever going over the top or chewing the scenery. And the result really is something that is creepy and has a lasting impact beyond the credits. As Jessica, Jules Wilcox, really is tasked with carrying the emotional load of the movie, and she's quite excellent. She's able to convey a sense of grief and loss early in the movie. You can really sense that inner turmoil and tension. She really sells the idea that this is a woman who, at the start of the movie, isn't really sure she wants to be alive and definitely wants to escape or be somewhere where she doesn't have to feel, who is all of a sudden put to this situation where her instinctual drives kick in and she's fighting for survival. And it really, her delivery of that character arc, particularly in the film's climax, is what elevates Alone from a standard generic survival thriller into something that's much, much better. Silence of the Lambs fans will also recognize Anthony Hill, who played Dr. Frederick Chilton in the movie in a small role as probably the world's most unlucky hunter. Even in just a very small role, Hill is excellent. And it's a scene that's quite good because Hyams kind of sets up a little bit of ambiguity about what direction he wants to take the movie in. You're not sure what kind of role Hill is going to play in the movie, if he's friendly to the killer, if he's just, as you initially assume, a stranger kind of thrust into completely overwhelming circumstances. And even though it's a small role, it's a fairly memorable one, and he does an excellent job with it. All the performances in Alone are top-notch.